This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us. It is Tuesday, August 4th, and this is the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. And coming up on today's program, we'll talk about the latest on TikTok and what China has to say. U.S. factory orders climbed in June. And on Travel Tuesday, how credit card companies are saving the travel industry and luxury sailing that's not too hard on the wallet. That and more. WBBM News Time is 12:05, and two trials testing a coronavirus antibody drug are underway. We'll learn more about that in our next segment. Right now, the latest report on factory orders is out, while negotiations on a new COVID relief bill are dragging in Washington. We welcome Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, Grant Thornton here in Chicago. And Diane, what are the sticking points with this plan?
It is tough as one, needing money to fund the states, and also the level of how much we provide as an extra bonus per week for unemployment insurance. The overwhelming evidence of the second quarter when the lockdowns went into place and people lost their jobs was that actually the $600 a week, even though it was more than what some people were earning with one job, not multiple jobs, was not a disincentive when they were called back to work in any major way, which is really surprising to many, but that's where the ideology is sort of stuck at this point in time. The key issue is going forward is providing enough support to keep people being able to pay for rent and food, which we're already seeing homelessness surge and food insecurity surge at the same time that evictions have picked up. And without the support, given the sheer magnitude of the numbers, almost 30 million people collecting unemployment insurance and what looks like an employment situation that's deteriorating again, that's a big sticking point in this bill, is how big will that amount be, and will they tie it to state unemployment rates, which would be the natural way to do it, that it goes down as the state unemployment rate goes down. But this is the real sticking point. Also the size, being willing to fund states that have lost enormous amount of money to retail sales tax revenues, income tax revenues, all of that meaning many draconian cuts in state and local employment, which was one out of eight jobs prior to this crisis.
Want to take a look at U.S. factory orders. What kind of a jump was seen in those in June?
Well, we saw a nice bounce back off of, course, low numbers. So I have to be careful when you see these nice big bounce back, you know, to put it into context, driven largely by vehicles. Vehicle plants were ramping back up again. That helped to carry the overall orders numbers. What's really been absent in the orders is, of course, aircraft. Not only did we have the 737 MAX problems, which now seem a distant memory, but those are still prevalent at the same time that we've had mass cancellations for new aircraft because of the decline in travel globally. We aren't even able to fly to other parts of the world right now because of our COVID cases in the United States. And travel domestically is also down because of the suppressed travel in business travel. And people just aren't taking vacations by plane right now because of increased risk of COVID transfer with the COVID cases so high. So the numbers are coming back, but really somber reading on the ISM manufacturing survey that bounced back because it's a diffusion index from a low level. Same thing happened in China, but the remarks by manufacturers much more somber about how they're still not back up to previous capacity and they're worried about what's going forward. High uncertainty band out there. So things are coming back, but we have to remember the hole was so deep that we got in that it takes a lot to go back, and outsized numbers can be misleading in terms of the level of activity that we're actually operating at.
Great stuff, Diane. Thanks so much. Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, Grant Thornton here in Chicago. And coming up, the latest on the search for a COVID-19 antibody drug. The U.S. government is beginning two trials testing Eli Lilly's coronavirus antibody drug. We're joined by Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News out of Minneapolis. And Michelle, what's the latest on the Eli Lilly program?
Right. So it is an antibody program, and they are testing it in a broad group of patients who either have coronavirus and are in the hospital to see if it helps them recover. And they're also testing it in people who are just at high risk, such as those who are in nursing homes, to see if it can help ward off infection to begin with.
What are some, I also understand the participants will receive some standard care, including doses of remdesivir. Is that correct?
Yep. So the patients will be getting everything that is current standard of care, so the best possible treatment, to see if adding this monoclonal antibody on top of it actually gives them an additional benefit. And if you think about the way that this works, the way our bodies work, our immune system, is when an antigen comes in, when that virus comes into your body produces antibodies to fight it off. What this drug does is they're producing that antibody outside of everybody's body. And if you get it, they'll inject it into you. And so that should help fight off the infection. That's the theory. The problem is that it's difficult to make, it's expensive, and we need to prove that it works. But fingers crossed, there has been some promising results with this approach in other viruses.
We've been talking with you about vaccines for months now. What are some of the most promising vaccines out there at this point?
So there is a whole host of vaccines out there, right? We have, there's a study from Moderna that's underway, AstraZeneca in Oxford in England is being studied. Pfizer has recently announced that they're pretty far along, Johnson & Johnson. We have numerous shots on goal when it comes to vaccines. There's a lot of anticipation about these results, and people are saying that we're going to get it even as early as this fall. We'll get an answer on whether or not it works. I think that's a little bit early, and people counting on that are probably diluting themselves a little bit. But by winter, we should certainly know whether we're going to have any protection from vaccines.
Michelle, what about COVID spread? Where is it right now, and what are the hotspots?
Well, you know what, Jennifer? It's interesting that you would ask that, because there's good news and bad news on that. It looks like things are actually coming down a little bit. We are seeing increasing levels in some parts, like Texas is up a little bit today, but in most places, California and Florida, New Mexico, all across the Sun Belt states are falling. Things are still low in New England and in Illinois and other places, just very little. The problem is that we just talked about those vaccine trials. In order to show that a vaccine prevents infection, you have to have infections happening. So if you start seeing a decrease in cases, that's going to make it more challenging for these vaccine trials to continue. So six of one, half dozen of another.
With the fewer cases or lessening of cases, is it because of actions that are being taken by cities and states? I mean, in Wisconsin, they were talking about the masks and wearing those now, requiring those. Here in Chicago, we have the quarantine travel order. Would it be those kinds of programs that are helping to slow it?
Well, so I have to preface it by saying no one knows for sure. So I'll give you my opinion, but, you know, take that.
Gotcha.
There's two things that are happening here. Everyone did really expect that we were going to see a decline in cases in the summer because of the heavier, humid air and all that sort of stuff. And that didn't occur. And the reason that that didn't occur is probably because there are so many people who are so vulnerable to this virus. There's no natural protection. So we saw a decrease in cases. So we didn't see the decrease in cases because it was still spreading. But as people started wearing masks, as people started doing even just mild measures to disrupt the spread of the virus, we did see that drop. And then that compounded things because it is summer. People are outside. We're not contained in small enclosures and small areas with the virus and with each other. So we were expecting this decline to come. And I think that this measures that people have taken, social distancing, masking, not going to bars and restaurants, not having large gatherings, that definitely contributed to this decrease that we've seen. The question is whether or not that will continue once we start moving back indoors. And hopefully hopefully more of it is coming from the masking and the social distancing, because that we can control, and not so much the weather, which we don't have any control over.
Thank you, Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News out of Minneapolis. And up next, how credit card companies are providing a lifeline to the travel industry during the pandemic.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The credit card industry is proving important to help travel companies, and we learn how from Ted Rossman, industry analyst, creditcards.com. Ted, curious as to how credit cards are, how they're helping the travel industry at this point.
Hey, Jennifer. Yeah, we're definitely seeing credit card companies helping out here, primarily with advanced purchases of hotel points, for instance. We saw recently American Express bought about $1 billion worth of hotel points from Hilton. We saw Amex and Chase combine to buy almost that many points from Marriott. This is accelerating cash flow, and it's a big source of revenue for these travel companies.
You know, one thing, I'm not hearing it, but I'm sure it's out there. Is there a sense of panic among the travel industry? Because we're hearing things, you know, hotel bookings down 80%, cruise lines hit, airlines hit, everybody's hit at this point. What is it like out there?
There's definitely huge declines in the number of people traveling. The deals that these companies, like the airlines, made with the government said they couldn't lay anybody off until October. But now that we're getting closer and we're not really seeing an end in sight to the pandemic or people's reluctance to travel, we are starting to get concerned about more layoffs ahead. These loyalty programs are real assets for these airlines and hotels, and we're seeing them securitize those. We saw United actually put their Mileage Plus program on the line as collateral for a recent $5 billion loan. I mentioned the advance point sales by both Hilton and Marriott. These are really big revenue deals. We see the American Express and Delta tie-up is supposed to be worth about $7 billion a year to Delta by 2023. A lot of times, credit cards and travel go hand in hand. These are really lucrative marketing incentives. The card companies buy all these points and miles because then they turn around and dangle them to the rest of us consumers as incentives. It's a really big deal, but it's not great economics when people are afraid to travel.
Okay, so any advice when we are looking for a card with good deals that would give us the best benefits?
If you can pay your bills in full, it's a great time to get rewards. So you can stockpile them for a future trip, or you can lean into cash back programs. A lot of these travel cards have been really smart and made adjustments that focus on the new normal. So they're letting you redeem for things like groceries and restaurants, and you can earn enhanced rewards on groceries, restaurants, gas, home improvements, all these categories where people are spending. So as long as you're able to avoid interest, it's actually a great time to get rewards, either for the here and now or for the future.
That's Ted Rossman, industry analyst, creditcards.com. Thanks for joining us. And still ahead in Travel Tuesday, finding vacation value by chartering a yacht.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and the WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Rachel Pearson. More developments in the deaths of 9-year-old Janari Ricks and 7-year-old Natalia Wallace.
The city of Chicago's travel quarantine order is expanded. The potential acquisition of TikTok by Microsoft creates waves overseas. In Travel Tuesday, how chartering a yacht can be an alternative to taking a cruise. Business, the Dow right now is up 88 points. The NASDAQ is up 6 points. The S&P 500 up 4, and oil is up 1.5%. AccuWeather says a nice day, breezy this afternoon, a high 73, 72 at O'Hare and Midway, 68 at the lakefront at 1231. Investigators are working toward resolution in the cases of two Chicago children shot and killed last month. WBBM's Rachel Pearson reports.
Chicago police announced 39-year-old Darrell Johnson is charged with first-degree murder for the death of 9-year-old Janari Ricks. Ricks was shot and killed July 31st while playing outside near the Cabrini Green neighborhood. Additionally, Terrell Boyd is now the third person charged for the death of 7-year-old Natalia Wallace, who was shot in Austin at a 4th of July party. Superintendent David Brown attributes the quick arrests and charges to the work of police and community members coming forward with information. Rachel Pearson, News Radio. Radio, 105.9 FM.
Puerto Rico is the lone addition to Chicago's travel quarantine order this week. Department of Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwady, who says people need to take the mandate seriously.
This is not a theoretical risk. We've had many, dozens and dozens, more than five dozen last I looked, of confirmed COVID cases here in Chicago among people who traveled to states on our travel order.
Arwady adds that Iowa, Kansas, and Utah are moving toward being taken off the list. If you're working remotely or anytime you're home, just ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. WBBM News Time, 12:32.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets are up right now, and we have Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecasts newsletter, joining us. Chuck, what do you make of what we're seeing on the boards?
Well, I think we're seeing a continuation of the momentum that has really occurred, in the second quarter. July was a good month, and that's continued here. Earnings have helped, I think, the market. The earnings have been coming in better than expectations, and I think that's also been a prop for the market here.
And speaking of earnings, Disney is expected to come out with earnings today after the bell. What's the expectation here?
Well, the bar is pretty low. The estimate is for a loss of about 67 cents for the quarter on revenue of about $12.3 billion. To give you an idea of just how bad those numbers are, a year ago in the second quarter, the company earned $1.35 per share on revenue of about $20.3 billion. So, again, it's tough to find a company that it's been hit harder than Disney relative to COVID. You've got, obviously, the theme park business, which has really been impacted greatly. They've kind of started a little bit in July, opening up some parks. But that's been fairly slow. The movie business has been very slow. Nobody's going to the theaters. Their cruise business has been non-existent. And then when you look at their broadcasting, especially ESPN, that's very sports heavy, and you're starting to see a bit of loosening in the sports side of things, but it's still nowhere close to where it has been in the past. The one bright spot, obviously, has been Disney Plus, where they continue to add subscribers. But, it's a company that's really been impacted greatly by COVID. And, my guess is it's going to take some time for those brands to come back.
What would you say some of the winners are and some of the losers when you look at earnings season?
Well, the big group that continues to do well and driven by earnings has been tech. A lot of tech companies, last Thursday was kind of a microcosm where you saw Apple, you saw Google, you saw Amazon, you saw a number of the companies coming out that day with very good earnings, and that's been kind of the case for tech. A lot of the tech companies continue to benefit from the kind of the stay-at-home theme. They're less dependent on the vagaries of consumer spending here, and they have been putting up the earnings, and investors have been flocking to that group.
I want to take a look at Ford. Ford CEO Jim Hackett is out. He's going to be leaving effective October 1st. He's going to be replaced by Jim Farley, Ford's chief operating officer. Hackett is 65. He's retirement age. But, the performance has been lackluster. Shares down about 40%. It seems like this is more of a, okay, get out.
I think it is. And it continues a trend that Ford has really had on the last number of CEOs they've had that just have not been able to get traction for that company in that space. To kind of give you an idea, Ford in 2020 will probably do about 2 million autos, produce about 2 million autos. Tesla, on the other hand, will do about 500,000 deliveries in 2020. Yet Tesla market cap is 10 times Ford's. Tesla is about $274 billion in a market cap. Ford's about $27 billion. So, Ford has not been in the areas where investors want to be, and there's only so much money out there from an investor populace that wants to go into autos in the first place, and that money's not been going to Ford, and it's difficult to kind of see what Ford can do to bring investor dollars into that. This is going to be a nice challenge for Mr. Farley, but I'm a little dubious of the success he is going to be able to have versus his predecessors, quite frankly.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based out of Hammond. Thanks so much for joining us. And up next in Travel Tuesday, chartering a yacht as an alternative to taking a cruise.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Travel Tuesday, and this afternoon we're exploring the possibilities of yacht rental and what it will cost. We're joined by Angie Rice, co-founder Boutique Travel Advisors out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Angie, we pretty much know what we're getting with a yacht, you know, a nice size vessel. But tell us about, what is a luxury catamaran? Because it sounds like those are hot too.
Yes, chartering a private catamaran is a great way to explore islands, especially the Caribbean and even Greece, Croatia, and other islands across the world. It offers privacy, relaxation, and some of the best views actually are seen of any island is seen from the water.
So when you get one of these vessels, either a catamaran or a luxury yacht, what is it that you're getting with it? Are you getting a captain? Are you getting how many staff members? What is it?
Sure. It can vary. I mean, some people choose to have a captain and a small crew, whereas others want a full crew where the meals are provided, there's daily housekeeping and other chores. So it really depends on the level of service. And the catamaran experience is not as expensive as some people might think. Certainly, whether it's a 50-foot catamaran versus a 58-foot catamaran, that's a variance. And depending on the number of people, and again, we talked about the size of the crew. Those are kind of the primary differences, but there are certainly some large cruise lines that actually charge more per person than what the rate will be for a private catamaran.
So is this a trip that's more ideal for a couple or for families or both?
Definitely both. We have a lot of families that will choose to charter a catamaran together. So you're typically going to find anywhere from 3 to 4 bedrooms on a 52 to 58 foot catamaran. There's plenty of space inside. There's a kitchenette, there's a family room, and then outside the catamaran, there's certainly plenty of places on deck to socialize. We also have found families where you can actually put 2 or 3 sails traveling together with the same itinerary, where you meet on the water, at private beaches, as well as at the port.
So it sounds like during a pandemic, this would be the ideal situation because you'd be not having to do as much social distancing, you know, with your own family. But and then when you go places, you can possibly, like you said, a private beach and then practice the social distancing if you're going inland somewhere to visit places.
It's definitely in high demand for the coming year. But keep in mind, due to the pandemic, we had a lot of cancellations in the charter arena over the summer. Typically, you book 6 to 12 months in advance. So with those 2020 bookings being shifted to 2021, now is really the time to start planning for the next year.
And what do we want to keep in mind if we are doing that planning? What are some questions we want to ask ourselves?
I think it's important to, you know who's, you know, the travelers that'll be in your group, what their, you know, what their interests are, and to really weigh in. You know, the price is going to vary on the size of the vessel, and it's going to vary on the level of service that you prefer. So those are the different components to consider. And then the itinerary is where you're going to have the most fun, whether you sail in the Caribbean, which, you know, the season for the Caribbean is February through June. Right now it's more the hurricane season. So, you know, I would recommend, you know, it's possible to sail over the winter holiday, but it's a great, great opportunity for people to rethink what they want to do for the coming spring break. And to get 2-3, you know, a multi-generational family or a group of 2 or 3 family friends that can really, you know, experience the Caribbean or other islands in a whole different, you know, way with a lot of privacy. And absolutely, it's a great way to ensure social distancing.
Angie Rice, co-founder, Boutique Travel Advisors out of Scottsdale. The website is travelbta.com. Thanks for joining us. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday and still to come, the latest on the proposed acquisition of TikTok by Microsoft.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chinese state media is slamming the U.S. for what it calls the planned smash-and-grab acquisition of TikTok. We welcome Shelley Palmer, host of the Think About This podcast with Shelley Palmer and Ross Martin. And you can visit thinkaboutthis.fm or follow him on Twitter at thinkaboutthis. And Shelley, interesting stuff coming out of this. The president, President Trump, comes out and says, hey, if there is a deal here with Microsoft and TikTok that we want, the Treasury should get some of that money. Your thoughts on that? And what is China saying about what the president has said?
Well, China's not happy, and I think they're going to do what they can to retaliate, and I'm not sure what that means. As for what the president meant by saying the government should get a piece, last time I looked, and I could be incorrect, they already taxed every single transaction business transaction in the world. So I'm not sure if they want an extra piece or what. This is so political and so little to do with the real issue. It's very unfortunate. If you want to be concerned about TikTok, what you should be concerned about, seriously, all kidding aside, is the amount of data that is collected. And not that it might be weaponized by China, but that it might be weaponized at all by anybody. Having someone the size of Microsoft own this much data, or TikTok in China own this much data, doesn't really matter. We are so, as Americans, promiscuous with our data at this point, with no understanding of how it is being used. That's the part that's really frightening. The rest of this is just politics.
Shelley, talk about that data. What specifically are they looking for, and what are they gathering?
So TikTok gathers everything. Your behavioral data, as you scroll, it understands what you like, and the AI algorithm is tuned to get you to engage maximally. And in fact, it constantly trains itself based on what you like and what you dislike. TikTok also looks at your clipboard of your phone on a regular basis. The amount of data taken is used to aggregate, is aggregated to create a profile. And that profile is based on that profile data is used to keep you engaged. Now, no one knows the future, but we do know that the artificial intelligence tools are getting better and better and better. And how this data will ultimately be used, no one knows. How it's being used now, it's pretty safe, right? They just want to put more content in front of you. They'll addict you to TikTok or to any other social media, but then what? And without knowing that, this seems really, really reckless.
So obviously Microsoft would want the data. I mean, that would be one reason they're interested. But why is Microsoft also interested?
It's the greatest strategic acquisition for Microsoft ever when you think about it. Facebook can't buy it because of antitrust. Neither can Google. Microsoft has GitHub. They have LinkedIn. And then this would be a first-time real live challenger to Facebook. Spectacular strategic move for Microsoft. Couldn't be better. A lot of organizations would wish to get into it, but Microsoft will benefit the most from it. It's really quite spectacular. I don't think they'd let Apple buy it. Apple would do great with it, but they probably won't be allowed to buy it. So good for Microsoft, and good for us if Microsoft gets it. But I'm so concerned about the way the administration's gone about this and this China bashing. I understand why people are politically upset with China, and that's fine. Weaponized data, it's a real issue. We should discuss it in a serious way. And this is not a serious discussion about weaponized data, which does, by the way, deserve our attention. But this isn't the way to do it.
Shelley Palmer, host of the Think About This podcast with Shelley Palmer and Ross Martin. And again, you can visit thinkaboutthis.fm or follow him on Twitter at thinkaboutthis. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.